Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Anna and the Angels Radio Show. I'm your host, Anna Taylor, and it is my extra pleasure to be back with you this week because I haven't been on the air for a few weeks, and I missed you. I love talking on the radio, but I just needed to take a little bit of time out for myself, and a lot's been going on, so I'm really excited about talking to my guest today, and I will introduce her to you in a moment. But I wanted to let you know that I'm still here, and I'm really looking forward to the next few weeks of sharing with you. As always, it will be every other week on a Thursday at this time, 9 p.m. here in the UK and 1 p.m. Pacific. And, of course, wherever you're listening, you can also listen anytime on demand. So I love the fact that you can re-listen to any of these shows at any time. And sometimes it really helps you to be present in the moment because you can then re-listen to any of the details later on. It's really an extra honor for me because quite often I speak to people that are thousands and thousands of miles away in America. But my guest today is actually from Dublin, Ireland. She's about to release a beautiful book with Hay House called Energy Healing Basics. I believe is out next week. She is a shamanic psychotherapist and an energy healer and is considered one of the leading authorities on energy healing. As I said, her book is out next week, I believe. She's published two other books and has recorded a 2-CD set, Heart-Centered Healing Meditations, which are all available on Amazon.com. She runs a private practice in Dublin, Ireland, and has many clients from around the world for one-to-one healing and mentoring sessions, and she runs online classes and workshops. She has a beautiful Facebook community, which we'll talk about in a moment, and it's how we connected. So without further ado, Abby, are you there? I'm so happy to talk to you.
Hi, Anna, I certainly am here. And may I just say it's wonderful, wonderful to be here on your show and to connect in with you. And before we start talking about the main thing, just to say congratulations, 250,000 people on your Facebook page. That is wonderful.
Yeah, that happened the other day.
So that's so fantastic. So well done on that. That's brilliant. Whatever you're doing, just keep on doing it, you know.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, and it's really why you and I connected, wasn't it? Because you have all these beautiful inspirational pages and then you're starting to meet other people who share, you know, the kind of same themes and interests as you, and then you see all these lovely people saying that they're sharing your posters and you share back, and I love it because I love the sense of community and I love the fact that we can be in different countries but have this thread that draws us all together because we're all energy, right? So like attracts like, and we're creating almost like this global movement through it. So I will never complain about Facebook. I say that very often, but it is really what you make it, and it's a wonderful tool for us all to connect, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's fabulous. And I find, you know, the conversations, the reaching out, it really gives me a feeling that there's so many people out there who benefit from the types of work that both of us do. That's why I really wanted to make a book, because, you know, when you're a therapist and you're working one-to-one, excuse me, with one person there in front of you, and I'm thinking, I can only see 15, 20 people in a week. What about everybody else? So that's kind of my reason, is to step out of that and go, well, what can I do for more people? How can I reach more people? And it just grew and grew and grew.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And for me right now, you know, Facebook is that, and doing the online classes and things and the classes in my area is a way to do that. But certainly a book is a beautiful thing to do, and it's so exciting that you get to share it. Have I got that right? It's next week that it comes out?
It comes out on Monday. Yeah, it's just a dream come true for me to have Hay House there backing me. And I really feel I'm part of a family now. I'm part of a team. They're so welcoming. They're so supportive. And you saw how many tweets we got for the show tonight. So thank you,
Hay House,
for doing that.
I know. They're all so lovely there. I love Hay House too. And, you know, I read so many books from them, and some of my, you know, my teachers are Hay House authors. So yeah, I love them, love them, love them. And I'm so happy that for you, and I'm so happy that we get to share at this really exciting time in your life. And I'm sure, you know, years ago when you were starting on this path, it's one of those things that you kind of dream about and that you'd like to share in a way, and to have that be a full circle moment in your life is just wonderful. So going back to the beginning, how did this all start? Did you study psychotherapy first? What came first for you?
What came first for me was my crisis in my 20s, as you go through, as you know, as part of life, who am I? You know, I was told all these things that I liked to do, but I don't actually really like them. I don't know what I need. And then there was a bit of a spiritual crisis as well. And so in Ireland in those times, there wasn't very, you know, a lot of the alternative medicine was hidden. So I went straight into counseling to find somebody who could help me. And we did 4 or 5 sessions. And then he said he couldn't help me anymore. So I was in shock from that. And I, you know, I'm not bragging when I say, you know, I have a good brain. I'm quite intelligent. So I worked a lot of stuff out myself in my head. I worked a lot of stuff out myself with the counselor with my head. But I was still getting these incredible mood swings. I was getting very angry. I was getting very sad. I wasn't able to control that. And somehow or other, I ended up going to Reiki. And the Reiki session was the thing that really got me relaxed, got me calm, got me grounded, and then I started to feel better. I didn't know at the time that you could learn it for yourself. So what actually happened was, you know, the way the universe conspires was my Reiki teacher was doing a PhD, and she was no longer available, and she said, well, you could learn it for yourself. So the first thing that I did was I did my first level of Reiki. And then as I did more work on my mind and my inner self, I thought, well, you know, becoming a psychotherapist would be really interesting because I have more tools now than my counselor did when I was 20, and I'd like to be there to help some, you know, other people. And then I took on shamanic training at the same time.
Wow,
that
was a lot.
So I think the reason why I blend everything together is because I trained in everything at the same time. And something in me woke up as I went on my journey, and I just had this sense of knowingness about what I was doing, and it was almost like I was remembering things, and they made more and more sense. And the deeper I went into it, Anna, the least sense it made to separate it out. Do you know what I mean? It's like we aren't just our brains, and coming from just brain stuff, you don't do the healing in your heart. But you can heal your heart, but your brain is still pushing you into things that you don't need to do. So you need to spend time with the brain, and then there's the gut instinct that most people neglect, and you need to come down into that. So that's the energy healing bit.
Absolutely, you know, and I think sometimes in the world that, you know, I've certainly come across as well. I mean, I'm definitely somebody that says this a lot in my readings, you know, it's really important to listen to your heart, and the angels, you know, are often talking about love and coming back to our hearts. But also, it's interesting that we're talking about this now, because I did a reading actually today for someone who, that they were really wanting her to use her brain and use her mind as well, and saying it's there for a reason. It's okay to use both. It's okay to really have that balance, because it's your mind that is going to be able to see clearly in this situation. So it's fascinating, and it's so true. We have both for a reason, don't we?
Well, we do, and I wrote a piece there, I think it was about a year ago, for Elephant Journal, about why we need to keep our egos. Now, there's a lot of spiritual teachers out there that say the ego is edging God out, and it's, you know, we have to kill off the ego, all of those. I disagree, because we have a physical body, and the ego is there to, you know, to keep us safe, to remind us to eat, not put your hand in the fire. You know, you have to make the money, you have to feed, you know, all that kind of stuff. What happens is when you stay in your brain, you disconnect from love. And a lot of the fear-based, you know, things that are going on at the moment is because we forget how to love. So when you said there, you know, come into your heart, I'm thinking of all the clients of mine that say to me, well, I know I have to come into my heart, but I don't know how to do it.
Right.
You know, so I kind of step back from that, and I say, well, how are you feeling? And they go, I think I'm grand. And it's like, I think the grand comes out, it spills out of them. And I'm going, okay, I'm not asking you what you think, I'm asking you what you actually feel.
Absolutely, that's the thing, isn't it? Because so many people are in that place, like, well, I'm not really sure entirely what I feel. I haven't really even thought about it, and I don't know what that is. And part of it is just really, as you say, connecting with that, first of all, to see where you are, to see, it's almost like a compass, isn't it? It draws you in a certain way. And unless you can connect with that, it's really difficult for any kind of healing to happen, isn't it?
Oh, it's impossible. And what I've found over the years as I'm working is it's like we've got gates that are locked inside of us, and we are the ones that give ourselves permission to open those gates, if that makes any sense. So when you've got someone sitting in front of you, it's like, I don't know how to get into my heart. Well, have you given yourself permission to feel what you're feeling? You know, you have to pull right out of it and pull right back to the basic stuff, which is why I love the book is Basics, because it's all in there as well. It's
yes,
like,
oh, absolutely.
The first, you
yeah,
have to give yourself permission, yeah. Sorry?
I was going to say, keep things simple. It's great to do the basics.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, even, you know, like, I think I feel means I'd rather not actually feel. I'd rather just stay with the brain, because the brain is where I am most of the time. And I've recently become a mindfulness practitioner as well, because what I'm really seeing, which is just wonderful, is that mindfulness is like the bridge between the brain and the heart. Now, it's not sold that way. It's not really sold that way, but what it's doing is it's making you disconnect from things outside of you. It's making you disconnect from your thoughts about what happened to you and about the thoughts that are things that what might happen to you. So it brings you right in to now. And then if you stay with it long enough, you have no choice. But, you know, that's one of the keys into the gate, that you open the gate. And I feel safe, and it's okay to feel. So I'm going to allow myself feel. So any resistance that I'm creating around feeling, I give myself permission to let go of that. And then you drop in and you go, oh, it's not so bad in here. And then you can start doing deeper energy work, because you're allowed in, but you're the one that pushed you out and you're the one that lets you in. Mm. And that's where it all starts.
Yes, and I think that that's an interesting thing, because we were talking earlier about, you know, being in our power and not giving our power away to others, because it seems to be such a thing when we go and have help from any kind of therapist. You know, so many people will suddenly think that the therapist has all the answers, but really, I believe that a therapist really is a facilitator, and we are the ones in charge, so to speak, of the healing. Whether we let somebody actually help us to open up is our responsibility. It's not for them just to have these tools to say, oh, well, I'll fix you, I'll make you better, and you need to come and see me for this amount of time or this amount of sessions, and you need to do exactly what I say. It's actually saying, well, what is it that's, you know, what is it that's in your heart? What can come out of you that will help us to really see what's going on here?
Well, I agree with you completely, and I'm thinking, you know, I would love, you know, when I set up my business, you know, I decided, well, a mission statement would be really helpful. Why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And you've already asked me that, and I never really answered. But it's like, I want to empower people to learn how to heal themselves, is what I want to do. And I think when you feel empowered, then you have your power contained within you. And you know when you can't do something or shift something yourself to get help with that. Now, even me, and I'm not saying even, but I have people I go to for help. It doesn't matter what stage you are. Everybody needs somebody to go to for help, whether they're just there to witness something or they're there to actually show you a different perspective. But it's up to you to say, I need help. But then when you go and you ask for help, the quality of help that you receive, it's up to you to say, well, is this what I'm looking for? And coming back to what I said earlier, I feel safe to drop down in my heart. You need to feel safe with your therapist if you're going to drop down in your heart with them as witness.
Absolutely. So, so, so important. And I know for myself, you know, without going into too much detail, when I was a teenager, I was in big emotional stuff. You know, I was dealing with a lot of stuff, and I was at school, and everyone knew that I was, you know, going through a lot, and they just thought, oh, Anna just needs to talk to a counselor, that will be fine. You know, I'll take Anna to a counselor and she'll talk about her stuff and everything will be good. And I went to this lady who was, you know, and I was very sensitive at that time. I didn't know what my sensitivity was. I didn't know that I could feel energy, but I basically took one look at her and thought, you have no idea what you're doing. I just knew that she didn't understand me, and she was even questioning what I was feeling immediately. She didn't understand the illness that I had. And so, of course, I wasn't going to talk to her, you know. And there was that immediate response in me that just said, no way. And I think it's really important to honor that and to help other people, whether they're young or, you know, just going through a crisis in their middle age, to really be able to say, it's okay if I don't resonate with this person. That's why there's so many of us, right?
That's true. That's true. And, you know, I'm feeling as well that as more and more people wake up to their reality of who they are, they need therapists who understand that we're not just our brain. And the types of people that I'd work with would be like yourself, you know, sensitive, not knowing, you know, wanting to please everybody, wanting to give away pieces of themselves, coming home exhausted because they've lost a piece of themselves that they gave to someone, you know, and finding, yeah, you know, going to the supermarket, just something simple like that, and having a panic attack because there's so many people and so much energy going on. You know, I have,
right,
you know, many clients who feel they don't belong in their family, and many people who feel nobody understands them. I get clients who are like, why am I here? I don't want to be here anymore. But they don't, you know, it's not that they're suicidal. They just can't make sense of anything. And it's,
right,
about all the gates, again, that they've locked themselves out of themselves. So, you know, the place,
yeah,
to start is to feel safe. And then when they feel accepted.
Is that the one thing that you would say to people, if there was one key thing that, you know, if they were in that place of, you know, I want to explore that, is that the key thing, to find someone, you know, whether it's a therapist or someone that you feel safe enough to explore that with?
It is and it isn't, because this is very interesting, because you can have great resistance and fear to looking inside your soul and seeing all the work you have to do. And
yeah,
it's very easy for you to say, well, I don't want to go there and it's their fault, and point your finger at your therapist and say, I don't feel safe with you, and they can go to 15 different therapists and never do your work.
Yeah.
Because it's not the therapist at all. It's the,
yeah,
work that you have to do that you just don't want to look at. So
that's
the way
very
I work,
true too.
I just want to,
yes,
give you
absolutely.
Give you an example here, Anna, which is wonderful, which is, if you could ever imagine doing a chemistry class at school and you have this big long bench with all of these different bottles with all of these different colored liquids in them. And let's just imagine that each bottle is something that happened to you, and that the color and the flavor and the texture of the liquid is what you're holding on to. It's the pain, it's the emotional pain, it's the regret, it's the guilt, it's the anxiety, it's any of those things. And just say that people are walking around carrying all of these bottles. They're buried, they're hidden, and that's the heaviness that they feel when they wake up in the morning, the heaviness that they're going around. So the way that I say to them is, you know, we lay all the bottles out on the table and then we heal the bottles, and we don't need to open them. But if one of them is about to explode, we can open that one, we can analyze its contents, and for that, of course, we need the brain. Where were you? What happened? All of that thing, you know, and then we can clear that and slowly bring all of the colors closer to a neutral. So you don't need to walk past, you know, into every single thing that happened to you your entire life in order to feel better. That's why I love energy healing. But if there is a message there, if there is a learning there, then that's the bottle that's ready to explode. Then you have to go there. And for you to get that learning, you need your brain with you. And what usually happens is what you discover is impacting on your life now in the present. So you have to change a behavior because you no longer feel that way. And then you need to retrain the brain and retrain the thoughts. And so I think, you know, you can't have one without the other. So there's people out there doing energy healing. There's people out there just doing psychotherapy. The ideal solution is to get both.
I completely agree with you, and I actually was speaking to a colleague of mine who is about to, you know, launch something very similar to what you're talking about. So the timing is absolutely perfect that we're talking about this subject, and I really believe it's like all holistic medicine and therapies. It's really about the whole person, and in an ideal world, I believe every single person should have the opportunity to work in that way, because we are so multi. Dimensional, almost multi-energetic. There's so many different layers to us, and particularly those of us who are sensitive. There's so many different things and different aspects and facets to our journeys and to our personalities, and that's what makes it beautiful, but it can be complex sometimes, can't it?
Oh my gosh, yeah, well, as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, you can do all of the amazing clearing, make all those bottles neutralized, so to speak, and then the first thing that comes out of your mouth is something like, I don't have any gifts and talents, or I'm not good enough to do this. And it's almost as if the brain is manufacturing the poison to put back in there as soon as you've taken it out. You know, and it works
right.
the other
it's
way
like,
around
oh, that's
as well.
Not true. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it works
that's
the other
true.
Way around as well. You clear, you and I get a lot of clients who've done a lot of psychotherapy. I get people who've been in psychotherapy for years and years and still can't move forward. And it's actually an energy pattern that's holding them from moving forward. Whereas they brain, I've done all the work and I can't, and I don't understand. So yes, some of these things are not logical. You know, layers and layers. We don't see all the layers at once, you know. They only get revealed to us when they're ready to be revealed, and not everything about us is logical anyway. And that's the piece, isn't it? You know, you can't work logically if you're not a logical being, and we all think we're logical, so therefore we get stuck in that logical framework.
Yes, and then we get really frustrated, like, why can't I get this? I knew this. I already know this. And you know, I have to say that, you know, people that I know, and even myself, you know, I absolutely admit that because we quote unquote help others and we know things and we work with energy and angels and whatever we do, you know, I think that there's a part of us that's like, what, you know, wow, I already knew this 50 times. Why is this not budging? Or why am I repeating the same pattern? Or why is this, you know, still going on? And sometimes there is another layer to it. It's not about that we haven't healed anything. It's just going, okay, it's time to go through another process, or it's time to look at this from a different perspective. You know, it definitely happens in my journey plenty of times, and it's fascinating how it's like you can almost tell that you're ready to explore this in a different way. And I absolutely agree with you. I mean, it's essential to be able to know that it's layers and all kinds of different things, and to be able to work in that way is a gift for so many people. So I'm so excited that you're going to be able to share these techniques with people. And you were saying actually earlier that you had one of your exercises from the book featured in Kindred Spirit magazine. So did you want to share about that?
You see, in the book, I have it into three parts, and the idea is not to sit down and read the book in an afternoon and you know it all. You don't. The book is like a workbook. It's an exercise book. So you start at the beginning. You can read the whole thing through once, but then you come back and you absorb it and embody the work. So there's grounding, and I would take you through, you know, centering, grounding, and then healing work, and to build up and build up and build up. And the whole idea for me is that it doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual, gradual process, and it can turn into a practice that you do every day, and then it can become part of your life. And, you know, it's just amazing to me because it brings everything that we are into it. You have your brain working, you have your heart opening, you've got your feet connected to earth. And as you release the emotional pain, as you release the weight and give yourself permission to heal, which is a big part of it, you know, it's the fear of, oh my God, you know, if I'm well, if I'm happy, then I'm going to be a failure. Or what if I do fail? You know, I wrote a piece there recently, Anna, the difference between your healed self and your ideal self. And people really didn't see that, which is fascinating. It's like when you have this idea of who are you when you're your healed self, you're thinking of the ideal self, the me that never makes mistakes, the me that gets everything right. I show up on time, I'm the best at this and the best at that. That's not your healed self. That's your ideal self. And we will always have an ideal self, which is almost impossible to get to. The healed self is the one that makes the mistakes.
Human beings, are we?
Exactly. The healed self makes mistakes, but doesn't give out about them for a week afterwards, doesn't carry, go, oh, okay, what's the learning in this? The healed self loses her temper or his temper, but then it clears it and it's finished with, and you're not still giving out about something 2 weeks or 2 months later. And once people see that the healed self is
a
real person.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's so true. I mean, we can have those ideals, but if we really feel like we have to live them and have to compare ourselves constantly to this idea of perfection, which I talk about a lot. I always say, you know, I don't want to meet perfect people. I want to meet real people. I want to be a real person. You know, I actually think that that's the great thing about being human, is I like to feel like there is a journey there rather than feeling like we have to be perfect all the time. And that is, I just love that. I love that, the difference between our healed self and our ideal self. And do you talk about that in your book and how people can recognize that?
I talk a lot about authenticity and congruence, and what's really interesting is that congruence is a psychotherapeutic word, and it's really alchemical. It's as above, so below. It's like what you think and feel and know are all the same. You know, what you're
thinking
is what you're doing. And that's not really something that people teach, say, in energy healing. So, I mean, again, it's bringing it all together, and it's all there in the book about, you know, you can hide something from yourself. You can hide something from someone else is different to hiding something from yourself. Pretending everything is not okay when it is okay is something that my clients do because they don't want to be well, you know, or pretending, you know, or thinking that things are okay when they're not okay because they don't want to do their work. You know?
Right. Exactly. So it's like there's all kinds of traps that we fall into, and it's really about that honesty with ourselves. And it takes a lot of courage to do that, doesn't it?
It takes a huge amount of courage, and that's why I say at various points, you know, do this exercise, stay with it, be gentle with yourself. If you only get halfway through the exercise, come back and do it again tomorrow. You'll do it deeper as you feel safer. There's that word again. And if you can't do it on your own, maybe there's something blocking you, consider seeing a therapist. And just to say quickly, Anna, at my back, you know, they do an appendix at the back of the book. I've got a resources section, which lists all the different kinds of therapies. Well, not all of them, but a good, decent amount of them. And things to know about therapists, how to recognize a good therapist, questions you can ask before you can make a booking, so that you walk in there and the therapist is somebody who's an equal to you, who's helping you on your journey. They're not this amazing person you put on a pedestal who knows everything and you know nothing. You know, to feel like this is your process. You're in control of your own process. You're responsible for your feelings. You go in there, and if it feels right, you stay. And if it doesn't feel right, you can leave. Do you know? And to just get people to start owning.
We were talking about that before, about really, you know, taking responsibility for your own journey, and at the same time, being with someone who really respects the fact that actually, if they're really in it to help you, then having progress and having you move on or say, actually, I don't need you as a therapist anymore should be something to really celebrate, right? Or just the fact that they decide maybe you're not the right person for me. Somebody should really honor that rather than trying to hold on to you so tightly.
You know, what's really interesting is that when I started off as a therapist, I started off with Reiki, and the philosophy of Reiki therapy, well, it is in Ireland anyway, is that if the person comes to you, then what you have is what they need. And then if they go to someone else, then, you know, what they have is what they need. And we don't take it personally. There is no competition. You know, Abby Wynn has Abby Wynn energy. Anna Taylor has Anna Taylor energy. And if somebody who used to go to Abby Wynn now goes to Anna Taylor, Abby Wynn doesn't need to feel, oh, my God, I lost my client and Anna stole her from me. It doesn't work that way. You know,
no,
and then
she would come
to you and come back to me. But in psychotherapy, that's not how they think. It's all about, you know, you have to sign up for your 8 sessions with me, and I'm going to keep you forever because I need you as a client, you know.
Yeah, like I can't possibly leave you because I need the money, or I need to feel like I'm a success. You know, I'm the only one who's helped you and all of that. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And it's challenging,
you
know, to be in that kind of behavior, but I do believe that it's starting to, you know, thanks to your book and other people that are working in this field, I do believe that people are starting to see things differently. And I would hope that this is the beginning of a generation that is really going to combine the two much more regularly. And by the time we get to our children's children, it will just be the normal thing to be talking about this stuff.
Do you know what I used to do when I started my practice? On my way home, I could go up a mountain or I could go the normal road. I'd go up the mountain and I would get out of my car and stand at the mountain, and I could look across and I could see the whole of Dublin at nighttime, all the lights on in all the houses. And I would say to myself, how many people are out there that need my help? I don't need to own one particular person, you know. Anyone out there, here I am, I'm ready, I'm going to, you know, I'm here to help you. And if everybody did that, you know, you don't need to come to me for 6 sessions. Come to me when you want to come to me. And people then feel safe to go. Then everything changes, and there's so many more people now who are waking up to the fact that they're doing stuff, they don't know how to get started, they need a bit of help, and there are people out there who just want to help, that if we just release the need, then everything opens and everything changes, and that's where all the change is just fantastic. It's great. So I'm going to create that. I'm going
it's
to believe
true,
that.
It's true. It's true. And talking of that, there's only 40 seconds of the show left. I told you it would go so quickly. So can you just give your website out and just let people know where they can find you before we finish?
Well, Avi's Energy Healing page on Facebook. We're so connected now, Anna, and I'm sure they can find me from you as well. And my website is abbywynn.com, or you can just Google me, Abby Wynn, and everything will come up there. And my book is out on Monday. It's on Amazon and in all good bookshops. Energy Healing
is called.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm so excited for you, Abby, and I send you so much love. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Abby, for sharing with us. Sending you all many blessings from wherever you are in the world. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.